Bone-chilling greetings, everybody. Those tunes are courtesy of the amazing Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Way back in the 30s, in the little town of Wilder, lived an old man and his lovely little daughter. They ran gambling for a living. It was the best place around. All the men would come and lay their money down.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, evening, night, whenever you listen and wherever you listen from the remote village to large city and everything in between, it is absolutely appreciated. Where will this week's special city shoutouts take us to? Alcorcon, Spain, Kochi, India, Dennis, Massachusetts, High Point, North Carolina, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and Washington, D.C. We are in the fifth and final episode of the historic Route 66 series, and it's been fun. And I was shocked, actually, at the number of locations that I had driven through several times, mind you, annually, without even knowing it was part of Route 66. Because I'm like a horse with blinders on, and I have so many miles left to go, mind you, it's almost a 2,000-mile drive, and usually I'm driving with a dog and a cat, so it's kind of hard to stop at places. But now that I'm aware, I will definitely be keeping an eye out. Today, we start our Route 66 journey in Texas. 186 miles of the special historic route goes through Texas, and I was kind of surprised, actually, that it wasn't more, since Texas is so gigantic. Our first stop along the way is Adrian. Adrian is located in Oldham County, and it's 47 miles west of Amarillo. I love Amarillo. Adrian was once a thriving railroad town on the old Route 66, and it's bypassed by not the 40 like we've seen with so many other towns, but by Route 66 alignment. Adrian is one of the most famous towns when it comes to Route 66 locations. It is the midway point, my friends. When you are here, right here, yeah, Adrian, Texas, you are halfway there, exactly 1,139 miles from Chicago and 1,139 miles from Los Angeles. You know, you're halfway from Chi-Town or Chicagoland to the City of Angels, making Adrian, Texas, an iconic location. This town offers a unique experience on Route 66. It's not just about the landmarks, but the feeling of being at the exact center of the Mother Road. Mamacita, it's about to get real. You could enjoy a classic diner meal at the much-beloved and popular spot that is known as Midpoint Cafe. Very appropriately named, I approve. This cafe opened its doors to the public in 1928, and today those doors, they remain open. You can stop by for their mouth-watering delicious pies, something they are very famous for. And by the way, this is a neat fact. This cafe is one of the oldest continually operated cafes on Route 66. While there, you could even do a little bit of shopping, go home with a souvenir or two, or if you're me, probably more like 10 from their awesome gift shop. I just saw this meme a while back, and it was a picture of a guy holding his girlfriend's hand, and it said, "Hold her hand in public. It may look romantic, but really the main purpose is so she doesn't buy shit." That's really me right there. It's like I go in for one thing and like 20 items later, oops. Now, many enjoy taking a photo by the midpoint sign and soak in the nostalgia of this location on this ever so historic highway. Adrian is home to the Lyons Antique Museum. It's a rather nice collection of farming and ranching equipment dating back to the 1920s and into the 1950s. It would be kind of interesting to see what was used way back then and how it's advanced. Or maybe how it hasn't advanced. You know how sometimes they made things way back where it actually lasts? And now you have to get parts or get brand spanking new things because they keep breaking on you after a few years? The 2010 census shows that the population was at 166 folks. And 10 years later, in 2020, it drops down to 128. We now find ourselves in Allen Reed, an unincorporated community which is located in Gray County. It's about 7 miles west of McLean, a town that you will hear about later on. According to Legends of America, Allen Reed is not the first name this town would have. I quote, "Those early farmers and cowpunchers must have had a heck of a time figuring out what to call the town, because it was also called Springtown, Spring Tank, Prairie Dog Town, Rusty Shanks, and Gouge Eye." Finally, the present town site was laid out in the 1900s by the Choctaw, Oklahoma, and Texas Railroad surveyors, naming the settlement Allen Reed, derived from the contracting firm Allen and Reed. G.E. Castleberry's Land Company began to sell parcels for $2.25 an acre in no time. Unquote. You know what name I like? I mean, Prairie Dog Town is pretty cool because I love those little guys, especially like when they're standing there. Kind of reminds me of Meerkats. I like Rusty Shanks. That's kind of a cool one. Rusty Shanks, baby. Rusty Shanks. Anyways, now that $2.25 an acre, today that's equivalent to close to $84, which still is not bad for an acre of land, in my opinion. I guess depending where you're at, but $84 can get you an acre? Sign me up, baby. Sign me up. Now, thanks to the Rock Island Railroad, this town would become a major shipping point for many things. The main one being...
Ooh.
Cattle. Oh, yeah. In 1901, the first school is built. By the time 1904 rolls around, Allen Reed is the largest town in Gray County. In 1904, the Allen Reed Baptist Church is founded. And this is a really neat location, as today it is the oldest church on the Route 66 stretch that goes right through Texas. And it still offers services to this very day. So if you're in the area, want to check out a historic spot, and maybe get some prayer time in, go check it out. Besides this town being home to the oldest church on the Texas Route 66 stretch, it is also home to the oldest cemetery on the Texas Route 66 stretch. By the year 1907, Allen Reed was home to a bank, a couple of churches, grocery stores, a saloon, a hotel, blacksmith shop, the livery stable, the hardware store, and much more. Population of Allen Reed in 1917 was 250. In 1927, the population grows to well over 500 people. Things are looking really good for this town, but sadly, by 1929, both the town's hotel and bank, they had shut down. And by 1933, the population dwindles down to a mere 150 people. That's a huge difference from a few years earlier when they had well over 500 calling this place home. And this is obviously before I-40 even came through the area or even existed in general. So what the decline was, I don't know the reason behind the Allen Reed's decline. And once I-40 did come through Allen Reed, it was in real trouble. By 1977, the population was at 60. Ouch. You think that's bad? By 2020, the census shows the population at being 23 people. Everything is pretty much closed with the exception of one business that remains up and running. And again, of course, the church is still offering services to this very day. We now travel over to Potter County, Amarillo. Woohoo! Definitely not a ghost town. In fact, good old Amarillo, another place I pass through a handful of times each year, is the 14th most populated city in the grand state of Texas. And I do have quite a few listeners coming from that area. It's always popping up, so hello to my Amarillo peeps. Amarillo is part of the Bible Belt, as there are more than 200 churches in the area as of 2013, so I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more now. Their Route 66 historic district is plumb full of shops, cafes, street art, entertainment, restaurants, and just so much more. Planning a trip to Amarillo, Texas, and you want to stay and explore? By golly, you can always lay your head here at Route 66 Inn. It is just 2 miles from Route 66 Historic District. Also, here is the original Colonial Manor Motel, operating now under the name Rima. And this is just a small number. The places to stay here are just endless. Amarillo is home to the Cadillac Ranch. 10 Cadillacs in a row with their hoods buried in the dirt. They are ever so vibrant in color as artists have used graffiti throughout the years, and they are quite eye-catching to say the least. Are you a fan of tractors? Come on over and check out Combine City. I quote SantaRosaClueHole.com. Quote, a few decades ago, a Texan farmer had the somewhat crazy, but we feel downright hilarious idea of burying his old combine harvester. Now, well, there are over 14 combine harvesters buried here in Combine City. What started as a joke is now a well-visited tourist attraction. The combine harvesters are buried in such a way that they almost look like plants growing up from the ground. It's free to look at, but the area is barbed wired off, so you'll have to keep a bit of a distance. Still, there is enough to let you grab some photos of one of the oddest attractions on Route 66 in Texas. Unquote. Food. Texas. I love Texas. I love food. I love Texas food. Have you ever seen the movie The Great Outdoors? When John Candy's character takes on the 72-ounce steak challenge, and even though he loses his dinner afterwards, he eats it all, even with the gristle and fat, as Dan Aykroyd's character points out. If you haven't seen this movie, I really recommend it. It's a great one for sure. Now, while this wasn't in Amarillo, Texas, the great outdoors, what is here is the same sort of deal. It's a 72-ounce steak challenge. You can do this here at the Big Texan Steak Ranch. LoneStarTravelGuide.com. They share some special details for those that are interested in doing this amazing tummy-filling challenge. Quote, if you take the challenge, you'll need to sit on a small stage-like table at the front of the restaurant as you try to eat a 72-ounce steak, plus fixings, in less than an hour. If you succeed, the meal is free. If not, prepare to cough up $72. Unquote. Now, I'm a steak girl all the way. Like, put surf and turf in front of me, right? Big fat steak, New York strip, or a ribeye, those are my favorite. Throw that in front of me with some just big fat juicy shrimp. Oh, I'm in heaven, for sure. That's usually what my birthday dinner consists of. Steak girl all the way, but there's no way in hell that I would be able to eat that much, and you only get an hour time. That's not a lot of time at all. I'm sure people have completed this challenge before. Maybe some have regretted it, but you get the bragging rights, that's for sure. It's a neat, unique challenge, and it would be fun to see somebody actually try to attempt to do it. I'm unsure if that is the updated price or not, the $72, but I mean, $1 an ounce for steak, that's a pretty damn good deal. So if you are stuck with the bill having to pay it because you didn't complete the challenge, $72 is not bad at all. Another popular spot is the Cattleman's Cafe, located on Amarillo Boulevard. It has been open since 1961. And I quote the Route66.com. It offers breakfast, steaks, and dinners, and is open 24/7. Its now fading steer-shaped neon sign is a worthy photo, unquote. Again, I just really love these beloved places that are always open to the public. It's neat to know that if you're traveling through at 4 a.m, guess what? This place is open and they're waiting to serve you some great food and maybe some coffee, so you could take a break from the road and then get back on that road. On the road again, baby. Yeah. Next stop is the ranching community founded in 1892, and it's the last town on the Mother Road before Amarillo. We are now in Conway, Texas. In 1892, the very same year it was founded, the Lone Star School is established, and it is the first rural school in the Panhandle, which is pretty cool. 1903, the post office opens its doors, and they will eventually shut down in 1976. In 1912, the community church is built. By 1925, only 25 people called Conway home. But things look up by 1939, as the town is now home to tennis courts, service stations, restaurants, and several other different types of things that attract travelers, and the population rises to 125 people. So, you know, going from 25 to 125, that's pretty impressive in my book. I-40 becomes a problem for Conway. They try their damned hardest. By 1967, yet more entertainment is included into the town. This includes a rattlesnake ranch, trying to breathe life back into Conway, and it seems to help, as by the time this is all happening, 175 people are here now. But once the town is bypassed by less than 2 miles, people have had enough and decide to move elsewhere, and by 1970, only 50 people lived here. And in 1980, the railroad quits operations in the area, severing Conway with a slice to its throat. Sadly, by 2000, it is said that only 20 people remain here. In Conway, you can find the Volkswagen Bug Ranch, where one can see 5 Volkswagen Beetles buried nose deep into the earth. Kind of reminds me of the Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo, as they spray painted these cars as well. This area is neat for photo ops, absolutely. While there's not much going on in Conway these days, you can still check that out. And there's other things here as well. Also here are 2 motels that do remain open for travelers. The Executive Inn and the Conway Inn. Next up is Groom, which is located in Carson County, and it's considered part of the Amarillo Metropolitan Statistical Area and is 215 miles west of Oklahoma City. Historic Route 66 passes right through the center of Groom. This is another area that I pass through every year. One of the things that I always look forward to seeing when I'm in the area is the Leaning Water Tower of Texas. I already had this episode written out, but obviously not recorded. I was driving through Texas, had to stop, took pictures. So some of the pictures that you see in this cover picture collage, those were taken by me just a few weeks ago. So there we have it. Really, really cool. I've always drove by, never stopped. It was really cool just checking it out for sure. Speaking of going to a location and taking pictures, I recently, along my travels, got to stop at Yuma Territorial Prison, place I've always wanted to go to, did an episode on it a while back. If you haven't heard it, I recommend it. And so check out that episode, even if you listen to it, because I updated the cover photo and those images in that collage were all taken by me just weeks earlier. So, hoo-hoo! Here's to going to places I've talked about. And boy, without a shred of exaggeration, that tower is definitely an eye catcher, as it is a leaner. It's a popular attraction. It leans at 10 inches, and this is intentional, and not from Mother Nature, as some may think. While it is in Groom, Texas, the water tower reads Britain, USA. This leaning water tower and its accompanying sign remnants are iconic landmarks along the stretch of Route 66. While the gas station and restaurant, they're long gone, the tower stands as a leaning reminder of the past. Another location that I passed by during my travels, that's a Route 66 attraction, and not too far away from the Leaning Tower, is the Giant Cross. I have only driven by it, but my boyfriend's mom, she stops there from time to time along her travels, and she tells me that they have the cleanest bathrooms ever. So, for my travelers passing through the area, be sure to check out this Route 66 attraction. This beautiful cross that you can see from quite a distance away, take a break from the road. And clean bathrooms. Sometimes that's a rarity while traveling. Groom offers essential services for travelers. This includes gas stations, restaurants, and a motel. The town also hosts events throughout the year, like their beloved and much anticipated Groom Peanut Festival, celebrating its agricultural heritage. This town is not a ghost town. 575 people do live here to this very day. Groom gets around 1 million visitors every year, so that's pretty cool. Next stop in Texas is Jericho Gap. While Jericho Gap may have been founded in the late 1800s, the area has been inhabited for over 10,000 years. The Route-66.com gives some good history about this area. Quote, "In historic times, the Comanche and Kiowa roamed the plains, hunting buffalo until they were defeated and placed in reservations after a short war in 1874 through 1875, unquote. Jericho Gap is 53 miles west of the Texas and Oklahoma border. The best way to reach Jericho Gap is to leave I-40 at exit 124 to head south along Texas 70. It's a 4.2-mile round trip, and just a heads up, it is partly on dirt roads. Now, I'm used to driving dirt roads all over in Colorado. Some people may not have the appropriate vehicle, or they just don't like that kind of thing. So, full warning about that. Jericho Gap was once a very important stop for mail coaches to stop and change their horses and what have you. The cemetery is established in 1894 after an unfortunate malaria outbreak killed several people. Heartbreaking, heartbreaking stuff for sure. The culprit behind this horrible outbreak? Stagnant water. Ugh, for real, horrible. The cemetery has its very first burial in 1895, predating Jericho and railway station by 7 years. The cemetery is still in use today. In 1900, the construction begins for the Choctaw, Oklahoma, and Texas Railroad Company. By the year 1933, 100 people called Jericho Gap home. The Shamrock Texan published this article July 19th of 1934, titled "Asking for Bids on Jericho Gap," and it reads this, quote, "Months of struggle to secure the completion of paving on U.S. Highway 66 through Texas is nearing the climax, with the notice released from Austin today that the Texas Highway Commission is advertising for bids on construction estimated cost $1,700,000. And to include 8 miles of grading and drainage on the Jericho Gap. The contracts will be set up July 30th for the work. The bid on the Jericho Gap is the only one to be let for the Panhandle and is for the grading and drainage structures in Gray County from Lock Ledge to the Carson County line. This is where the pavement ends going west instead of the new highway following the old turn of the road south over the railroad. The road bed will be constructed straight west on the north of the railroad," unquote. Jericho Gap is considered a ghost town, and according to TexasEscapes.com, quote, "Today Jericho is a ghost town, with one occupied home, mid scattered ruins, cement foundations, and piles of junk," unquote. This town is located in Tornado Alley, so be safe and plan accordingly. And I know right now that tornadoes are going on in Texas and Oklahoma. This wasn't happening when I recorded the Oklahoma episode. Everybody who's affected by that, I really hope that things get better very, very soon. And I'm really sorry that you're having to go through that. I've had to deal with hurricanes and they're scary. They're really scary. Some people are just so cool-headed and like, oh, it's just another tornado or hurricane. It's like, what? That's scary shit. So my thoughts are with everybody out in Texas and Oklahoma right now who are dealing with that kind of thing. Next up is McLean. Located in Gray County and about 185 miles northeast of Oklahoma City, McLean was once a thriving town right on Route 66. It was a well-known stop for oil and livestock. So you can get gas and your steak in the same place. Just kidding. The town's founder was a gentleman named Alfred Rowe, and he would sadly meet a tragic end by a catastrophic tragedy. And it's one that, regardless where you are, it's one we all know about. The sinking of the Titanic. I quote Legends of America, quote, "In 1912, Alfred Rowe, the town's founder, left McLean to visit his native England. Tragically, he would never see McLean again, as, upon his return to the United States, he met his death on the Titanic when the grand ship sank in the Atlantic in the early morning hours of April 15, 1912. Legend has it that rescuers found him hugging his briefcase, frozen to death atop an ice floe, with his hand watch still ticking," unquote. So a little legend in there for you. In 1902, the post office opens, and in 1903, the town is incorporated and home to many things such as banks, livery stables, cafes, a lumber yard, a furniture store, and a local paper called the McLean News. They had a windmill that pumped water from a well. Locals would bring baskets, pails, barrels, buckets, whatever they could use to fill up on that precious liquid. By 1940, the population here was 1,500, and it was home to 6 churches and 59 different businesses. In 1942, a prisoner of war camp was built and it was running and would do so until 1945. It housed around 3,000 German prisoners. While here in McLean, you can stop by the Texas Route 66 Museum. Also located here at the museum is the Devil's Rope Museum. The sign outside reading, "Tribute to Barbed Wire." It's a unique museum showing the early stages, the development, the improvement, and the history of barbed wire. McLean is also home to the Phillips 66 station, a phenomenal vintage gas station, a wonderful example of the types of service stations that were scattered all over Route 66. The entire commercial district is listed in the National Register of Historic Places and is considered a must-see on the route. And just a short drive from town is Lake McLean, a small lake that offers fishing, and it's located in Palo Duro Canyon State Park. This spectacular canyon provides phenomenal scenery and hiking trails for those outdoor lovers, so go check it out. We now find ourselves in Wheeler County. Shamrock is established in 1890. It's located 291 miles northwest of Dallas, and it is the eastern part of the Texas Panhandle. Shamrock is known for its classic Art Deco architecture. During Route 66 heyday, Shamrock was an important stop for travelers, welcoming them with open arms and offering conveniences such as gas for the hungry vehicle, food for the ever-so-growling tummy, and motels for the weariest of heads. Known as the first town in Texas along the eastbound highway. Traveling through Shamrock, I want to stay here. Shamrock County Inn, Western Motel, which, by the way, for those traveling with furry family members, this is the only Texas Route 66 hotel that is animal friendly, so keep that in mind. Also in town is the Route 66 Inn and the Blarney Inn, which offers scenic views of the town itself in many of their rooms. If you're in Shamrock, you must check out the Tower Station and the U Drop Inn. It's an iconic Art Deco building and is considered a must-see here. Originally, it had opened as a restaurant and a gas station. It's now the town's visitor center and a museum exhibit all about Route 66 history, so pretty cool stuff right there. And another museum here in Shamrock is the Pioneer West Museum, allowing you to walk right into Texas's Old West history. Love it. It has 25 rooms, plumb full of history. Originally, this museum, the old Reynolds Hotel, this old building was going to be demolished, but thankfully it was saved. And now it's the museum that you see there today. A part of the beloved Blarney Stone from Ireland called Shamrock Home. My dad and sisters actually visited this site in Ireland, not Texas, and actually got to kiss the Blarney Stone. Yeah, I was super jealous. I wish I could have done that. It's on my bucket list. Back in 1959, a local organization sent away for the stone to preserve Shamrock's proud Irish image. When the stone left its home country, it was escorted, guarded, and you better believe protected by an armored truck. Every year, Shamrock holds the Route 66 Festival. I bet that would be a fun event to go to for sure. As of 2020, 1,789 people called this place home. So definitely not a ghost town. Last but certainly not least on my Texas Route 66 towns is Vega, located in Oldham County. In 1903, a store is built in the area that would become Vega. The owner, a man named A.M. Miller, would be the one who would name this town. Vega is home to many neat things, such as the Magnolia gas station. It was around before Route 66 even existed. Today it serves as a visitor center, and also there is a small museum dedicated to Route 66. Also a location to call this place home is Dot's Mini Museum. A lady named Dot had run a freezer storage business here for years, and throughout those years, she would collect stuff from Route 66 and not just limited to Texas, but all over. And now it's a museum of sorts. Vega Route 66 attractions include Rooster's Restaurant, which has a wonderful Route 66 atmosphere, if you will. It's a place where you can come and enjoy a nice American classic meal, fill up that stomach before you hit the road again. And another cool place to check out is Rourke Hardware. It's been open to the public for over 100 years. They opened back up in 1921. You're stepping back into time. Also, it has vintage items and really cool, old, original, amazing wooden floors. So, definitely worth the visit. Okay, we leave Texas. We head over to Illinois. 301 miles of Route 66 go through the state of Illinois. Last but certainly not least of my Route 66 states. First up on the list takes us to the Windy City, Chi-Town, Chicagoland. Chicago. Chicago marks the ever-so-proud starting point of Route 66. Today you can visit and stand right where history of Route 66 begins. The official starting point of Route 66 is located at East Adams Street of the intersection with South Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. Want to see it? You can't miss it. There's a big sign and markings on the road commemorating this significant location. Now, originally Jackson Boulevard at Michigan Avenue was designated as the starting point, but Jackson later would become a one-way street in 1955. I hate one-way streets, I really do. So, anyways, the starting point is shifted over to Adams Street. Definitely a great spot to begin or end your Route 66 adventure. Are you in the area and you want to grab a bite to eat? Well, it's Chicago. Close to 3 million call this place home. Tons of options, but a couple of Route 66 landmarks, they grabbed my attention. And next time I go visit my sister, I'm going to go check out those places. So here we go. Miller Pub is known for their world-famous, mouth-watering, ever-so-delicious barbecue ribs. Yeah, my mouth's watering right now. Thanks. Established in 1935, people come from all over to check out this place. Many have come here for a bite, including well-known names like Marilyn Monroe and even old Blue Eyes himself, Sinatra. Lou Mitchell's is a popular spot that is well known for their phenomenal breakfasts and lunches. It's been here since 1923, and it's located right along the original Route 66. It was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2006. The Berghoff restaurant is practically at the center of the Chicago Loop. They opened their doors in 1898, first as a saloon, and when Prohibition came around, this location would become known for serving German food. And it became a favorite spot in the area, serving Wiener Schnitzel and Apple Strudel and oh so much more. Yum, yum, yum. This establishment closed its doors in February of 2006 when the owners, still in the Berghoff family, mind you, decided to retire. Much to the town's delight, it did not stay closed for very long, and their daughter would actually reopen it. So I love that it stayed in the family. That is really, really cool. And it was open just like a few months later, or a couple months later, so they didn't have to wait very long at all, those locals. I'm sure it may have felt long, but you know, just a few weeks. They made some changes and they added some stuff as well. During COVID, they would be forced to close down for a while, and thankfully they opened back up. I saw many places that were popular that shut down after, and it was just a shame. Places that I miss to this very day. Berghoff remained closed down for over a year, but thankfully opened their doors to the public once again mid-July of 2021, and they've been open ever since. They've been unstoppable. Also on site is their very own microbrewery. I'm such a huge fan of breweries. I really am. Breweries, microbreweries, I love them. I love trying different types of brews. A couple of years ago, while in Chicago, I was visiting my sister and my soon-to-be brother-in-law, and I had a great local key lime pie beer. And oh my God, it was so good. The brewery is known as Adams Street Brewery. So go check it out. Chicago. Next up is Collinsville, located in Madison County. Originally, it was known as Unionville. The post office opens in 1825, but there was already a Unionville post office in Illinois, so the name is then changed to Collinsville. Coal was mined here from 1857 up until 1964. This was a significant stop for travelers along Route 66 during its heyday, providing essential services such as gas stations, motels, restaurants, making it a welcome site for the weariest of travelers. While Route 66 was bypassed by I-40, Collinsville has done a great job at preserving a good portion of its loved historic character. One funky landmark is the world's largest catsup bottle. I always say ketchup, so it's so weird saying catsup, but it's a catsup bottle. An impressive 60-foot-tall bottle, and it's a really neat, unique thing to capture. Get some cool pictures. Next up in Illinois is Funk's Grove, located in McLean County. While traffic now bypasses Funk's Grove on Interstate 55, a portion of the original Route 66 still exists right here in town. The route-66.com shares some awesome history. Quote, "The first settlers in what would become Funk's Grove were two brothers, Isaac and Absalom Funk, who arrived here in May of 1824. They had learned to raise cattle in Ohio and moved west to claim their homestead in the prairies. They built a 12 by 14 foot cabin and started raising and selling cattle. Robert and Dorothy Funk, stubble-filled, arrived shortly after, unquote. The Funk family is still here, and they have quite the sweet business. And I mean that literally. Tapping sugar maple trees. People have come far and wide to check out their digs and go home with some ever-so-sweet and special tasty souvenirs. That sweet nectar, their personal, amazing maple syrup. Getting that nice and local? Oh my goodness. Funk's Grove Maple Syrup, still in operation today. They've been producing this tastiness for over 6 generations and still going ever so strong. Stop by the Sugar House today where you can sample their homemade maple syrup and, of course, buy some to take home with you. Enjoy it later as well. Funk's Grove is home to the old abandoned train depot. The old Shirley Depot was built back in 1909 in Shirley and was moved to Funk's Grove in 1970. Also in town is the Country Store, a really neat place that is filled with antiques, and originally it was opened as a grocery store and a gas station. Today you can still see an old gas pump out front. I love those, they're so cool. Planning a trip out to this area? Like so many we see in Oklahoma and Texas, it's said that Funk's Grove is located in Tornado Alley, and it's struck around 7 times a year, so plan accordingly, please. This next location is in Will and Kendall counties. Joliet, Illinois, is a treasure trove for Route 66 enthusiasts. It has a vibrant stretch of the Mother Road. Joliet played a significant role in the highway's history and offers a wealth of attractions and experiences. A great portion of Route 66 still goes right through the city. This area is home to the old Joliet Prison. They closed their doors in 2016, and today you can go to this establishment, take a tour. And while I was in Chicago, I could have sworn I saw a billboard that showed haunted tours as well. Definitely on my list of places to go, since I do go to the area once in a blue moon, not very often. That is on my list to do next time I go, so that may be in an episode in the future. So we will see about that. Also here is the famous Rich and Creamy ice cream stand. It has an ice cream cone sign on top and the Blues Brothers dancing, so it's kind of like really eye-catching for sure. Here is some rather sweet history from Route66.com. Quote, Sherb Noble owned 3 ice cream parlors in Kankakee, Illinois, and his ice cream suppliers, the McCullochs, told him about a new soft frozen dairy product they have developed. He tried it at his stores, and it was a success. The McCullough family went on to establish Dairy Queen, and their friend, Shreb, opened the very first store named Dairy Queen in Joliet. By 1941, they had opened 10 stores, growing to 100 by 1947 and 2,600 by 1955. Unquote. It's neat to hear that this place is the location that Dairy Queen got started. Plan accordingly. Around 4 tornadoes strike here every single year. This next one has a connection to a president. Lincoln is located in Logan County, and it is named after Abraham Lincoln, before he would even become president, mind you. Honest Abe, he would actually practice law out here from 1847 up until 1859. The town has a lot to offer. One really awesome attraction that people love visiting is the world's largest covered wagon. This giant wagon stands 66 feet tall and is a popular photo op for Route 66 travelers, fans, and admirers. Meanwhile, the Route 66 Chapel of Lincoln is this itty-bitty chapel close to the historic route, And I will say this, that looking at it, it looks like it could be seen in some little old black and white Western, like Rifleman or just something else. Like, it's just so absolutely adorable. And I believe you could still go in there and check it out. I'm unsure if they still do services or not, but I think it is still open to the public to check out. The Mill Museum on Route 66, it occupies the original building of what was known as the Mill Restaurant. Established back in 1929, this museum showcases Route 66 memorabilia, photographs, and artifacts that tells a story of the highway and its impact on Lincoln. If you go visit the Lincoln Depot, the historic train depot was once a busy start for passengers traveling on the Alton Railroad. Today, the depot is a visitor center with information on Lincoln's history and Route 66. Postville Courthouse is where Lincoln would visit while practicing law. And what you see today, it's not the original courthouse, but a replica that was constructed not too terribly long ago, back in 1956. But it still looks really, really cool. And it looks old. Lincoln City Hall is a gorgeous structure that was built back in 1895. And there's something that's extremely unique about City Hall. On top of the building, you can see an old telephone booth. This phone served a very important purpose. Weather spotters would use this phone to report storms that they were able to see from on top of the building to warn people what was happening. This is located in the historic downtown district. And speaking of storms, plan accordingly, as Lincoln gets about 7 tornadoes annually. Lincoln population in 2020 was 13,288. Now we find ourselves in Montgomery County, first known as Huntsville, and then later changed to Litchfield. Plated in 1853, Litchfield, Illinois offers a charming and vibrant stretch along Route 66. Here are some phenomenal landmarks and attractions that will take you back to the golden age of the Mother Road. The Litchfield Pickers Market is a unique marketplace allowing people to check out and shop a wide variety of things such as antiques, collections, Route 66 souvenirs, and local goods. You just may unearth that perfect vintage find. Meanwhile, the Ariston Cafe, while the one we see in Litchfield was built in 1935, the business was established in 1924 when the first one was built in Carlinville, Illinois. This location in Litchfield is the oldest continuously operated restaurant on the entire Route 66. Step inside and savor their famous comfort food in the classic diner atmosphere. The historic joint was added to the United States National Register of Historic Places in 2006. The Litchfield Museum and Route 66 Welcome Center is your one-stop stop to delve into Litchfield's Route 66 history. There are several exhibits showcasing artifacts, photographs, and Route 66 memorabilia. It is said that the staff there is super friendly and would be happy to recommend any place for you and give you further information. Another Litchfield place connected to Route 66 is Jubelt's Bakery. They have been serving up delicious mouth-watering treats ever since 1920. Check out their fresh pastries and breads and phenomenal meals, all while soaking in the historic ambiance. The 2020 census shows that 6,605 people lived here. And like we've seen in a few of the Illinois locations, please plan your trip before you go. 7 tornadoes or so hit this area every single year. And last but not least of my Illinois Route 66 locations and my Route 66 locations in general is Willowbrook. It is in the Chicagoland area. Willowbrook was incorporated as a village not too terribly long ago, back in 1960. While the original Route 66 bypassed the town center in the 1950s, before it would be incorporated, There are still a handful of landmarks in the area that connect you to the Mother Road's legacy. A beloved landmark of Route 66 is Del Rio's Chicken Basket. This iconic restaurant was established back in 1946, and it becomes a rather popular spot for travelers, enticing people with their ever-so-delicious fried chicken. I know it's not healthy, but I am such a sucker for fried chicken, especially when it has, like, Cajun spices, and it's just so flavorful and has some spice to it. Oh, God. Oh. Mouth-watering. Again, here we're talking about steaks and a bunch of other stuff. It's like, okay, I'm hungry after this episode. I think I'm going to make dinner after this. They are still open today, so come on in and enjoy a meal and soak in the restaurant ever so rich history. They continue to operate as one of the last surviving stops on Route 66 in Illinois. It is listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Want to come out here sometime? Check the weather before you head this way. Geez, just like Texas and Oklahoma, Illinois is crazy too with tornadoes. They get hit around 4 times a year. Today I talked about Route 66 Texas locations, that being Adrian, Allen Reed, Amarillo, Conway, Groome, Jericho Gap, McLean, Shamrock, and Vega. And Route 66 Illinois locations include Chicago, Collinsville, Funk's Grove, Joliet, Lincoln, Litchfield, and Willowbrook. Have you been to any of these amazing locations? I would love to hear all about it. Feel free to reach out to me on my Paranormal Prowlers podcast Facebook page, or you could email me at paraprowl@gmail.com. Well, I hope you had fun these past few weeks learning a bit about Route 66. So many neat things and just packed with history. While we did talk about many towns, cities, and ghost towns, there are many that I did not talk about. I would love to someday go on a Route 66 trip and check out all of these neat places. Go to their phenomenal diners and impressive attractions and just much more. Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others, they're all terrific. Haven't heard every single one yet? Well, how dare you? Just kidding, head on over to any of those podcast platforms such as Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you may roam, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks everyone, and I will
see you next week.